It's KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. You might recognize this song from Temple of the Dog, the Seattle supergroup. With members of Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, they got together last week in Seattle and played their first concert in 25 years, and Seattle area musician Brandi Carlile was there. Now, why did we play some other band's music to introduce our interview with Brandi Carlile? Because Brandi Carlile told me Temple of the Dog and other Seattle bands have shaped her sound as a musician and her idea of what it means to be from Seattle.
You couldn't be in the audience of those shows and not feel this like huge sense of pride about our city having developed a sound that is so decidedly us. And those shows really impacted me as a Seattle artist. So it's interesting to see where I'm going to go from here, because that was just last week. But me and Mike McCready were talking about making an acoustic album, the two of us, out where I live. And calling it like Tiger Mountain Sessions or something like that, and doing everything outdoors by a series of creeks and rivers and stuff like that, because it creeps its way into our Seattle-ness and makes our sound, I think, what it is.
You came up in the Seattle music scene. You buskered at the Market, and you played J&M and all that. What was that like?
Oh, man, I used to play J&M every Tuesday. And busking at the Market was a really, I think, probably the defining learning experience for me.
Why?
Well, because busking in general is a really brave concept, you know, because the people aren't sitting there to hear music. They're there to do other things. So you're essentially learning what it takes to stop a person in between point A and point B throughout the course of their day and surprise them with music and try to captivate them. And what is that? What is it that makes that happen? And once you learn how to get somebody to physically stop to listen to you, even when you take that knowledge into theaters and out on the road, it's really a pleasure and a breeze.
We talk so much about how Seattle is not an affordable place for an artist to be. and is there even a demand for the, you know, a feel, a creative feel? Is there a soul to Seattle? Do you listen to all that conversation, and what do you notice about Seattle?
Well, I've been a lot of places, and there are certainly a lot less friendly places for artists to be, but they tend to congregate in those places anyway, just because I think every artist needs a good struggle. And the struggle to make ends meet breeds great art. So it's an interesting concept. My you know, Pike Place busker's permit was $15 a year back then, and I was able to make about $60 a day in tips. So it was affordable for me, and I made it affordable because music was my kind of sole purpose in life.
Are you saying life getting harder for artists in Seattle could be a creative good thing?
I think that's exactly what I'm saying.
That's
yeah.
Interesting. I think that's the first I've heard that. I've heard from a lot from artists who are leaving town,
yeah,
you know, saying you don't take care of your artists anymore.
Artists, well, we make our own friction and we make our own solutions. It's an interesting thing. Wherever you can find a great struggle, wherever you can find class division, wherever you can find political discord, you're going to find artists, and that's really important. Artists don't go where it's easy.
So you would have made it, in 2010 coming up in Seattle? You would have made it anywhere, maybe.
I would have always thought I'd made it as long as I was doing music for a living.
You mentioned that you know rural America, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just Tennessee. And you were raised on country and Western music. We're talking so much these days about liberal bubbles and mm-hmm. red states. And what's your take on all that? Where do you fit in?
Oh, my goodness. My take on that. That's a big old bite to chew. I can really find my people everywhere that I go. And I have a huge heart for the Midwest. I feel a great connection to the South.
Do you love Trump voters?
Really complicated question. I'm really upset with Trump voters right now, and I'm really concerned as to why they are. But I'm listening.
I saw in your, I think it was your Facebook page after the election, and you sounded kind of head in hands, like, what are we going to do?
That was a tough morning, dude, I gotta say.
Have you figured out the answer to that question? What are we going to do?
I think the fact that that is the deciding question of the end of 2016 is a really beautiful thing. And I'm really unhappy that Trump got elected. I wish he wouldn't have got elected. I'm embarrassed by it. And I'm not going to make any apologies about the fact that I feel that way. And I'm also not going to...
You're not worried about a Dixie Chicks moment.
No, not in the least. And good on the Dixie Chicks, by the way, for that. Also, I...
This goes back to George Bush, by the way, in case you
right.
haven't been. You know, you're new to us.
I will say, though, that because he got elected, there is something I like about this country more this month than I did last month. Because I felt that some of us that would have a tendency to be activists or politically outspoken had been lulled to sleep a little bit by an administration that was really charismatic, and we all felt pretty confident that things were moving in the right direction. And now that that might not be the case, I feel like I'm in a much more active country at the moment and a much more active artist community as well.
What's Brandi Carlile's part in that?
I'm really working on that, man. I mean, I think right now, if you have a platform, it's a superpower. If you got 300 or 400 people that'll sit out in the audience and listen to you sing and speak between your songs, you do have a superpower, and you have a super responsibility. And it doesn't have to be daunting or heavy, but it can be inspiring and motivating. And you know, our generation, we need protesters and music makers and artists to come forward and be a part of a revolution in the wake of what we've just learned about ourselves.
I think I remember you hearing you say that you work on issues more than candidates.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get involved in that. Will you
Absolutely.
Tell us why is that?
I don't know that I still feel that way. I really like to leave myself open to evolving. You know what I mean?
'Cause, I have that feeling.
Right. As I'm getting older, things change. I really supported Jay Inslee this year. I really think Jay Inslee's a great governor. I loved Barack Obama. He's my favorite American president. I loved Hillary Clinton. I adored Bernie Sanders. All those politicians, all those people, they're all candidates. And I'm proud to say that, you know, I support and am interested in all of those messages and stuff. Whereas maybe in the past I might not have been quite as apt to support candidates, but because I think that meant that I had to be more plugged into current events and what was going on, and that really wasn't where my head was at that time, you know. But I feel differently about that now.
So what is that inspiring message that you give those audience members between songs these days?
It kind of depends on what's going on and where I am, you know. I think that one of the important things is that, power and numbers in a community with a just cause have always been really, really motivating forces in the history of this country and other countries. And this might be a time for that.
Are you writing songs around that?
Not intentionally, but they're happening more than ever. I'm really proud of them.
What are you saying in those songs? What do you hear yourself coming? What's coming through?
I think in some of them there's a level of vitriol. In some of them there's the blowing in the wind concept of bringing people together. But I think even when Bob Dylan was singing, you know, blowing in the wind, there were still people in the audience that were pissed off. They were still saying, you know, how dare he get up there and ask me how many times must the cannonballs fly when I just want to feel better for an hour. But I aspire to be more, you know, for myself and my daughter and to people at our shows than like a beer. You know, it's like if you want to feel better, go grab a drink. If you want to come together and maybe motivate all of us or be a part of a plan or stand up and use your voice, then let's go to a rock and roll concert, because that's what rock and roll concerts do.
And Brandi Carlile is going to be playing a rock and roll concert this Sunday at Town Hall in Seattle. It'll be a rock and roll concert to make a difference, because all the proceeds are going to Carlile's charity organization, the Looking Out Foundation. I asked Brandi Carlile if she's going to be staying in King County for a while, and her response was, always. She's not going anywhere.
I think it's time we found a way back home. You lose so many things you love as you grow. I miss the days when I was just a kid. My fear became my shadow, I swear it did. Wherever is your heart, I call home. Wherever is your heart, I call home.